I'm delighted to be joined by Chair of RNIB, Anna Tyler, and you're very welcome to Northern Ireland.
As you know, I'm always incredibly enthusiastic about a trip to Belfast. We were treated to an enormous lunch. I think you were there, you know just how generous the portions are here. We met volunteers, we met service users, customers. I really find those conversations incredibly rewarding because there's nothing like meeting people and hearing firsthand what people's experiences are to really inform the sort of decisions that we're asked to make as a board. Then in the afternoon, we met Alison Kirkpatrick, who is the Human Rights Commissioner here, trying to understand a little bit about her work. And that gave us plenty of cause for reflection about how we approach some of our work at RNIB. And in the evening, we were really, really fortunate to have Raymond Curran, who's the Ophthalmic Commissioner for NHS Services in Northern Ireland, who spoke wonderfully about services here, about who gets what, about planning for the future. And really, the sort of things that he was talking about were not about giving away state secrets, but about trying to stimulate us to think about what RNIB needs to do and should be doing moving forward. And I think it's a really good moment to reflect on the particularities of Northern Ireland, which, as you know, is a place I know and love. The thing about Northern Ireland, as you and I were just saying, Joe, is everybody here knows each other. And that's a really great thing because you can get stuff done. And the bad thing about Northern Ireland is everybody knows each other. And so you don't always get stuff done. Yeah. But it's the particularity of the local that we were so interested in, about how it works here. All the parts of Great Britain, Northern Ireland, we all have our particular local quirks and foibles. And we need to exploit those to get the very best for people. So that was fascinating. And we went to the Ulster Folk Museum, where I got incredibly excited because we saw the basket weaving in action. And I'm of that generation that was taught to weave as a child. I absolutely love a bit of good willow work, I confess. Yeah. It's like my dirty secret, you know. I'm visually impaired, but I do love a bit of weaving. And again, we shared this with volunteers and with customers, and that was great because we had lots of chit chat and heard lots of stories, heard lots of viewpoints as well. That was really helpful. And then towards lunchtime, we met again in the office and we had a full board meeting. So it's been a very full agenda and incredibly rewarding.
A packed schedule, you could say. I suppose in your line of work as the chair, meeting people is, well, I imagine it's the best bit, is it?
Well, for me, I think people are endlessly fascinating. And the people who, in a way, fascinate me the most are the ones who are so reluctant to talk or who are not necessarily as outward going as possibly you and I are. Everybody's got a story to tell and everybody is endlessly interesting, in my opinion. And I just soak it up like a sponge. I love meeting people. I love getting out and about. And I love hearing people's stories, but also people's ideas, their thinking, their imagination about how things work, how they might work better, what RNIB might do differently in the future. I'm really open to all of that.
Because I find it, even in the line of my work, people say, oh, I don't like talking to the media, or I don't want to speak in front of the camera or microphone. But then you get them going and you cannot stop them.
It's so true. You know,
they really want to share their experience. You know?
Yeah, it's really great.
Maybe could you share a little bit of your thinking or your sort of your ideas and of how RNIB should, I know, shape up for the future or set its future direction or course?
It's always a work in progress. It's incredible, isn't it, that the world changes as quickly as it does. And that means that front and centre of my mind, the board's mind, and I know Matt and the leadership team's minds are, RNIB has to really have an eye to the future. So what are blind and partially sighted people likely to need as we move into the next 10, 15, 20 years and beyond? How quickly the landscape changes, the world changes around us. And that means that we have got to possibly think about building an organisation that is agile in the way that we think, the way that we approach things, and that we're sustainable. Mm. We're in a really strong position at the moment. We've got good levels of reserves. We've got strong services. We've got great leadership team, wonderful staff delivering frontline services and really valued services like the ECLO services. So how do we now build on that to make sure we keep the momentum going and get the biggest bang for our buck? And these are the things that we will never, as an organisation, stop asking ourselves, and that the board will never stop demanding of our exec colleagues, our operational colleagues, because we must never lose sight of why we're here. We are here to serve front and centre blind and partially sighted people. And I think that's an incredibly privileged position to hold. It's about making sure that this organisation is the very best it can always be. And that's what the board and the team, Matt, everybody has been leaning into. And I think we're in a really good place to be responsive to a very fast-moving landscape.
It is, isn't it? It kind of blows my mind just how big RNAB is and how big its influence is. Like, we've got fingers in all sorts of pies, haven't we?
We have. And the thing that I think that has really struck me on the trip to Northern Ireland particularly is how respected RNIB is, that we've got a great brand presence, but the personal relationships, that trust that we build up with colleagues working in other sectors, like people who are working in policy, civil servants, health providers, transport leaders, all kinds of people respect the input that we're able to give to make better services for everyone. And I always think that sight loss is a net contributor. We're radiators, in a way, not drains, if I can put it that crudely. If you think about the way the world is now, how we use ocular character recognition as we go through airports, we move through the tube system, train system, barcoding, all kinds of things like that, the keyboards that people take for granted, all of these things have got their origins in finding solutions for visually impaired people. So I think that sight loss has got so much to offer in our experiences in doing things better. Think of the rise of the audiobook. This actually arose out of a piece of work that RNIB was directly involved in, and I had a small role in as a volunteer many years ago. I just think it's phenomenal how we are able to help shape and make the world a more inclusive place. But this work will never end. And as one hole gets plugged, another one opens up. But it demands a creativity, and it demands that RNIB is always seeking to build those relationships of trust and understanding. And I feel pretty content that this is really embedded in our DNA.
I mean, funny you should say that. I know so many sighted people now, drivers especially, who love audiobooks.
When I first got involved in the Right to Read campaign, I did it for entirely selfish reasons, because I'd run out of reading material. And I just thought, God, wouldn't that be absolutely fantastic if I could get involved in that and we could pull that off? I'd have books to read. And here we are now, Bookshare, huge library, more than 1 million titles. I mean, what a credit to the library team at RNIB. And it really gives real-time access to people who are in education, to curriculum materials. So you don't have to wait 6 weeks anymore. You can get it at the touch of a button. We've got nearly 40,000 customers using this service now. Absolutely brilliant. It makes a material difference to people's life chances, because if you can read the curriculum at the same time as your classmates and you haven't got to wait 6 weeks, you've really got a chance. So we're trailblazing here. That's brilliant.
The world will sometimes have you believe that things must be done for us. Well, it's not really like that. It's that, you know, we're trying to say that if you did it slightly differently, or were a bit more flexible, or a bit more open-minded, that it would actually benefit everybody.
The cry of who wants to be lumped in with a load of blind people, that's a specialist thing that sits over there. These days are gone in terms of tech, and now we have to build on that to keep going.
Well, in that burst of positivity, I wish you a wonderful rest of your stay in Northern Ireland.
Well, it's great. Thanks for having me on, Joe.